You don't do stuff to gain God's acceptance. You do what you do to thank him that he's already accepted you.
But Dr. Tony Evans says even though we're saved by grace, we can get distracted or derailed by the devil's accusations.
He is trying to defeat you, discourage you, cause you to lose your stability. That's what it does.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Have you ever heard that little voice inside your head that says, you're not good enough? God could never accept you. Just think about the things you've done. Well, today, Dr. Evans will talk about where that accusation soundtrack comes from and how to silence it. Let's join him.
Paul has made it clear in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world forces of this darkness that's located in heavenly places. Paul has made it clear that your problem or problems or attacks do not emanate from the physical sphere. The sphere of flesh and blood, the physical realm. He says they emanate from a spiritual source. He calls them principalities and powers. You and I would call them Satan and his demons. Did you know many of the things you're facing have to do with the demons causing it? The demonic realm, which is very real, but rarely taken seriously. And as long as he can keep us blind to that, he can keep us losing the battle. Whatever that battle is in your physical world. He gives us six pieces of armor. Beginning in verses 13, he moves down and he talks about the belt of truth. Let's take a quick review. If you're going to win the spiritual that's causing the physical or financial or emotional or whatever it is you're dealing with in the world that you live in, relational, he said, you have to start with truth. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you just remember Jesus, you will be connected with the truth because he is the truth. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? Well, 1 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So guess what? Jesus is not only the truth, it says he's the righteousness of God. So if you need truth, just connect with Jesus. If you need righteousness, just connect with Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says he is our peace. We're supposed to put on the gospel of peace. So if you don't remember Ephesians 6, just remember Jesus is your peace. Because the Bible says he is the one who brings you peace. But then he goes on and says, take up the shield of faith. But according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author, that means he gets it started. Finisher means he will conclude it. Author and finisher means he didn't cover everything in between. So even if you don't remember faith, remember Jesus, because he is the author and finisher of your faith. He says that you ought to wear the helmet of salvation. Soon as Jesus came out the womb in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, it says, unto us a Savior is born, because Jesus is your salvation. So even if you forget the helmet of salvation, if you remember Jesus, you'll remember that you have a Savior, somebody who's on your side. He says, take out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. St. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes down in verse 14 of John 1 and says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Then he goes in chapter 1, verse 18, and says, the Word that became flesh was in the bosom of the Father, and the only begotten Son has explained him to us. So even if you don't remember the Word, remember Jesus. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if you hook up right with Jesus, you will have your truth, your righteousness, your peace, your faith, your helmet of salvation, and your sword of the Spirit. In other words, when you get Jesus, you are well dressed. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 13, put on Jesus. Because if you put on Jesus, you will discover you have on the armor that can thwart the evil one. Here's what he says in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down. It says that the accuser of the brethren, Satan, goes before God 24/7. So let's get this straight. Hell is after you 24 hours a day. Says day and night, that means all day long, okay? All night long. Day and night means 24-hour cycle. He is trying to defeat you, discourage you. He is trying to cause you to lose your stability. He's trying to cause you to be insecure and unstable. He's trying to break down things in your life. That's what he does, okay? Now, that won't change until he's cast into the bottomless pit, and that is our reality. But even though that is what he does, and even though he's got demons assigned to you to make sure your life is hell, it says in verse 11 of chapter 12, and they overcame him. Okay, I don't want to go too fast. They overcame him. In order for you to overcome something, there got to be something to overcome. All right? All right. They overcame him. Okay, unless you know you're dealing with him, Satan, then he's not the one you're trying to overcome. You're trying to overcome your circumstances. You're trying to overcome that problem. But that's flesh and blood. But you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You wrestle against principalities, powers, world forces, and heavenly places. So you got to deal with him, because he's the one who's causing the chaos that you can't deal with in the physical realm that he doesn't want you to know. It's him. But now God wants you to know it's him, even though it's working out in physical ways that you can see. It says they overcame him through three things. Number one, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. In the Old Testament, they slew a lamb. When they slew a lamb, God told Israel, when you put the blood on the doorposts, I will pass over you. No, you're going to be covered when I see the blood. Not because the blood of the lamb had special blood in it. It was because the blood represented something. In other words, the blood, the shedding of the life, represented atonement for sin. In the Old Testament, it was on the layaway plan. In the New Testament, it's permanent. He says the blood, or the atoning work of Christ. So when we talk about the blood, we're not talking about substance. We're talking about who died, why he died, and what his death did. We sum it up in the word atonement, at one man. That is bringing us into right relationship with God. Okay, on Friday, Jesus Christ hung between heaven and earth. He's bleeding profusely from his hands, his side, and his feet. And he is shedding his blood. As he's shedding his blood on the cross, he looks up and pronounces the word, tetelestai. Tetelestai is translated in your Bible, it is finished. And it is finished means paid in full. What was on the layaway plan in the Old Testament got completely paid off at Calvary. At Calvary, Jesus Christ completely satisfied the demands of God against you. Every accusation that can be made against you, even if it's legitimate, was satisfied by the blood of Christ. What Satan wants to do is keep throwing up to God your deficiencies that were satisfied by the payment of Christ. He wants to keep throwing up. In fact, many of us are still dealing with yesterday. We're still remembering all the mistakes, failures, sins that we did yesterday. But let me tell you about tetelestai. Tetelestai says, even though you owe a bill, the bill has been paid. And it was paid by Jesus Christ. Now, should that make us sin more? God says, God forbid. Heavens, no. You ought to know that if somebody picked up that much of a tab for you, you should be willing to live for them. So he says the blood of Jesus overcame them. You see, the Satan can't handle the blood. They can't handle the blood because of what the blood accomplished. But that just got the weekend started because that was Friday. Let me tell you what happened on Saturday. Now, I've never preached a message on Saturday, and most of you have never heard a message about Saturday, because, you know, preachers were well eloquent about Friday, Good Friday, when Jesus hung on the cross, and you know we'll wax eloquent about early Sunday morning just a little while before day. But a lot of folk don't know about Saturday. See, Saturday, Jesus wasn't just laying up in a tomb doing nothing. Because according to the scripture, between the time he died and the time he rose, it says he went down to hell. Between the time he died and the time he rose, he went down to hell and he had two sermons in hell. First of all, he turned to the devils and the demons and he told them, "You lose. When I went on Calvary, you lose." So guess what he told the demons in hell? He told them, "Go to hell, because they get to stay there forever. You lose because I won." Then he turned over to all the saints who were in the other side of Sheol, who were in the Old Testament Abraham's bosom, and he says, "Because of what I've done in my final payment, you don't have to stay here any longer." Ephesians 4 says he led captive a host of captives, and he took all the Old Testament saints and delivered them up into glory so that they could be in the presence of God, because the layaway plan was over. Then, after he finished with Saturday, came Sunday. He landed there on Sunday in the physical. John says he came to the tomb. Now, we know the ladies came first and said, "He is not here." But I like the way John found the tomb, which let John know that Jesus had arisen. John said, "When I came to the tomb, the reason I knew he had risen is because I saw him buried. And I saw the loincloth around him and the tie around his head. But when I walked into the tomb, the loincloth and the tile around his head were in the same spot, undisturbed." Now, if you move, if you take something off, it's going to be disturbed. He said that thing was laying in the same space, with the same shape, in the same location. So I knew that he had risen through his glorified body and didn't disturb the physical. And I knew the grave was empty. Do you know what that means, that the grave is empty? The grave that's empty means in Romans chapter 5 that he not only died to save you, he lives to save you. So he's up in heaven right now looking for opportunities to deliver somebody. He's up in heaven right now looking for opportunities to set somebody free. He's in heaven right now looking for opportunities to release you, to say, "Loose him and let him go." Oh, see, the blood, there's a whole lot to this blood stuff. The atoning work of Jesus Christ is a delivering work from the accusations of the devil when we take seriously the righteous stand of God. And that's only number one.
That's right, there's more. And Dr. Evans will come back with that in just a moment. First, though, a reminder that our special offer on Tony's book, Pathways, won't be around much longer. This brand new resource takes an in-depth look at the story of Esther and explains why the key to reaching your destiny is staying on the providential path God has you on, even when you feel like quitting. It'll give you a whole new perspective on what the Lord is making out of the circumstances of your life, good and bad. Just contact us before time runs out next week. Make any contribution to help us continue bringing you Tony's teaching each day, and we'll send you a copy of Pathways, along with all 10 lessons in his current series called The Keys to Spiritual Victory. It's our way of saying thanks for your investment that makes this listener-supported program possible. You can make the arrangements online at tonyevans.org or call our resource center day or night at 1-800-800-3222. I'll have our contact information for you again later on after part two of today's lesson and this.
Come on, man. Be strong. Grow up. Be a provider. Man up. Society says that to boys all the time, but what does that mean? Often grown men don't even know. This spring, Lifeway Films and Tony Evans tell you a story through the power of film and reveal the truth of biblical manhood. Kingdom Men Rising. Featuring Kirk Franklin, Tony Dungy, Lecrae, Tim Brown, Tony Evans, Priscilla Shire, Troy Vincent, John Kitna, and more. Be the man God created you to be. Kingdom Men Rising. Great for men's groups, women's groups, families, churches, or individuals. Coming to theaters nationwide April 29th and 30th. Discover more at TonyEvans.org.
He comes to number two. Here's the second thing about Jesus. Verse 11. Second thing, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Then they overcame him by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony has to do in Revelations with God bringing folk through stuff. See, if God has never brought you through something, then your testimonies are going to be general and vague. You know, God is good all the time, God is good. God is good all the time, God is good. Okay, that's nice, that's cute, that's Christian-y. But I'm talking about when you were about to lose your mind. I'm talking about when you didn't know how you were going to pay the rent. I'm talking about when you didn't think you were going to make it. I'm talking about when all hope was gone and Jesus Christ breaks through from heaven and tells hell, back off. And God comes through for you. Now you got a testimony. Because you can talk about the test, the pain of the test, the anguish of the test, the hurt of the test that God has brought you through. But watch it now. He didn't just say their testimony. He said the word of their testimony. Their willingness to confess, to verbally declare their testimony. Jesus says there is a deliverance that comes when you confess him before men. There used to be a time folk would be ashamed. Ashamed to discuss certain things. Ashamed, even if they did it, they wouldn't be publicizing it because they would be ashamed of it. But we live in a day when there is no shame. There is no shame. You got 1% of the population wanting to redefine the whole family, the definition of family for the whole country. Now, if less than 1% of the population can go public and affect the legal standing of the definition of the family for the whole country of the United States of America, you can't tell me folk who name the name of Jesus can't go public and declare that they are followers of Jesus Christ and are not ashamed of the gospel. You can't tell me that. He says it's the word of their testimony. I want to know, do you have a testimony that somebody else knows about other than you? Do they know that you're a Christian on your job? Do they know you are a follower of Christ in your neighborhood? Do your family members know, or are you ashamed? I've told you some years ago when they asked me to come and pray before the city council, and they told me, don't mention Jesus. They said, now we want you to pray, but we don't want to offend anybody. Don't mention Jesus because Jesus is too offensive. So if you just stick with general God, that's all we need. Well, I went down there and I said, shall we pray? I said, now, Lord, first of all, I want to thank you for the city council because you created them. And according to Colossians 1, everything you made by Jesus Christ. So I got to thank Jesus that the city council is even here. Then I want to thank you for creating government because government was said to be a minister of God according to the apostle Paul, the same apostle who met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Then I want you to help them in their decision making today so that the decisions were reflect who Jesus Christ is. And if there are any city council people who don't know Jesus, I pray today they will come to understand who Jesus is. Translation, if you don't want me to mention Jesus, don't ask me to pray. You can't ask me to pray and keep quiet about Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father is in heaven. And if you declare me before men, I will declare you before my Father in heaven. Jesus hasn't come through for some of us is because we are silent Christians. He closes out in verse 11 and he says, and they did not love their lives even to death. Love. That has to do with the relationship. In other words, they loved him more than they loved their own lives. That's a relationship. You know what he's saying? Religion won't do it. You say, what is religion? Religion is performing for God's acceptance. So if I shout more, if I praise more, if I pray more, if I read my Bible more, if I do more work, if I do this, if I give more. All that's nice, but it's religion. If I'm performing it to get God acceptance. You have already been accepted in the beloved if you've received Jesus Christ. You don't do stuff to gain God's acceptance. Guess why you do what you do? You do what you do to thank him that he's already accepted you. You do what you do as a response to grace, not just trying to be religious, to urge. Religion will tire you out. Religion will make you hate being religious. Religion will make you hate it Sunday and it's time for church. But if you're grateful that he's been with you, if you're grateful he's seen you through, if you're grateful he's been faithful, if you're grateful he's provided, if you're grateful he's been good, then you don't mind getting up and giving him the praise due his holy name, because you're just so thankful. And your relationship with Jesus is like a passport. You know what a passport will do? It gives you permission to enter another realm. When you have a passport, you can now enter a foreign land that you are not used to going into, because it gives you the right. When you go through customs, they're going to say, I need to see your passport. And when they look at your passport and see that you have a legitimate right to enter their realm, they give you through. He's saying, if your relationship with Jesus, the blood, if your relationship with Jesus, your testimony, if your relationship with Jesus, the love, if that's being intact, you got a passport into the spiritual realm. So when the devil comes to accuse you, you can say, go ahead on, devil, talk all day long. Then after he finished, you can say, Jesus, your turn. You talk now, because you got your boy covered. You got your girl covered. Put him on blast. Throw him under the bus. Because you have got somebody now. So if you don't remember the armor, you just remember Jesus.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a thought about why that connection to Jesus is so important. You'll want to stay with us for that. But first, a reminder that you can get the full-length version of today's lesson as a part of Tony's current series, The Keys to Spiritual Victory, along with the brand new book I told you about earlier, Pathways. As I mentioned, we're offering them both as our thank you gift for any contribution you make to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. So call us today at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements before time runs out. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit us online at tonyevans.org. Also, you can connect with Tony on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and follow along with him as we read through the Bible together this year. This week, we're focusing on Esther chapters 5 and 6. And on Facebook, you can join a special prayer group asking God to bless and multiply the Kingdom Men Rising film project. You'll get behind-the-scenes footage and other exclusive content to help focus your prayers. Your partnership means a lot to us. God wants to bless his people, but there's a point to his providence. And Dr. Evans will tell us about it on Monday as he talks about one of the Bible's famous fishing stories. Right now, though, he's back with these final comments for today.
This man came to get demons out of this person. In the book of Acts, they came to get demons out. Demons were just all over the place, and demons were just messing them up. Demons, just demons. And the man said, well, be gone, demons. Be gone. Then the demons spoke. Watch out when you talk to demons. They might talk back. It said the demons spoke. When the man said, leave, the demon said, now, wait a minute. The demon said, now, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who the heck are you? Who are you? Who are you talking about? Demons be gone. And then it said the demons jumped him. The demons jumped him and ran him out of the house. Because even though he was using Jesus' name, he didn't have a relationship. See, you can cry Jesus all day long. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. But if you don't have a relationship, you don't have authority. If you don't have a relationship, you don't have power. But if you got a relationship, you got a passport. And you can cross over into the spiritual realm and watch God. Watch God do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.